Vinny, before we bring the great Mel Kiper on, I want to read a text message we got during the update. Vinny, I'm a dog groomer in Pikesville. Ken Weinman brought his two dogs in, and the dogs' names were Swan and Stallworth.
See, I tell you what, you're a Steeler through and through.
Yeah.
Yellow Speedo, your dog's names are Swan and Stallworth. You got Ben's jerseys, and you're turning bright red right now. What do you think of that, Vipe?
Let's bring Mel Kiper on, Vice President of Football Operations for Calvert Hall.
Always something going on there.
Mel, please explain Tim Tebow to me, because I'm speechless to try to explain what I watch when I watch him.
Well, I think you see that gimmick offense and a quarterback who, or a football player, I should say, that just refuses to lose and has a great attitude, a great approach. We said if you base it on intangibles, he's probably the number one pick in the last 30 years. He's incredible in what he can do on a football field. But as a quarterback in this league, to do this and sustain this is not going to happen. And that's the bottom line. It's just not going to work. I think what John Fox is doing is fun and games. Everybody's happy now, but are you seeing Tebow prove that he can or can't throw in a normal environment? John Fox already said, if we had to go conventional, we'd be in big trouble. That's what John Fox said himself. So he admitted that you can't have a quarterback go out there like everybody else does and win football games. Secondly, Brady Quinn's never going to see the light of day, so they won't know what they have with him. They're going to win enough games, which you already have, to keep them out of the mix for the elite quarterbacks in this draft coming up in April. So my point is, it's nice to see what Tebow's doing. It's fun. It's entertaining. But it's a productive from a short-term and long-term situation. Short-term, I'm talking about next year. Long-term, for the next 10 years. So that's what your quarterback has to do.
Hey, Mel, when you were watching the Ravens on Sunday and there was 5:57 to go, the Ravens had just scored to make it, 22-17. Your anticipation that they were getting off the field again?
Well, I said that a couple weeks ago. You asked me, did you think when they got that, when it was winding down, that they would have a chance to go down? I said, all I wanted at that point as a Ravens fan was a shot. You want the football in Joe Flacco's hands to see. I don't know if he can do it or not. I'm not going to be able to predict the future of a drive to say, yeah, he will take them down and they will score. I just want that opportunity. When I said that, people say, what's the big deal about that? Well, you don't always get that opportunity. You didn't see it in this game against Seattle. Right. You didn't get the opportunity, and that's what was frustrating, and we took it for granted against Pittsburgh because you got the opportunity. That's all I want as a football team, as a coach or a fan, is to get a shot to put my offense on the field with enough time to go down there, if we're good enough, to get the winning score. And unfortunately against Seattle, they weren't afforded that opportunity because the defense didn't get the job done.
Hey, Mel, what do you think the problem is? Because we've had a pattern now, big win, lost to a bad team. Big win, lost to a bad team. And now, three times it's been done. What do you think the problems are?
Like, the issue is, vendors, if you're not a great team, you're going to have your ups and downs in this league. That's this league, these guys are all getting paid a lot of money to do a job. A lot of these players in these teams were high draft choices. They were outstanding college players. All these kids were. They weren't just mediocre college players. These were all outstanding college football players. And Seattle does have, as we know on paper, and they produced a pretty good defensive football team. And, I think when you think about Marshawn Lynch, he was a great player at Cal. He was a first-round pick. You look at that football team, now they have the injury with Carpenter. But and Moffitt got hurt in that game, so now they're really affected up front. But I think the more important thing is, this game against Cincinnati. One thing the Bengals have been able to do is play well on the road. They handled Seattle easily on the road. They beat Jacksonville on the road. They've been very effective for the most part on the road. Some problems have been at home. For the Ravens, is it going to be like when they lost to Jacksonville and they came home and they had that horrible first half against Arizona, then rallied? You remember, they came off of a loss to Jacksonville and had Arizona, down at the M&T Bank Stadium, they were a huge favorite in that game, almost a two-touchdown favorite, and barely won. Is it going to be that environment against Cincinnati, which you would think, because Cincinnati is a good team and they know each other so well, or will the Ravens be able to separate? Now, compounding the problem is a defense that's going to be without Ray Lewis.
Yeah, Mel, how much of a difference does that make at this point? He is 36, but he is the heart and soul of the defense.
Well, that's exactly right. And we talk about intangibles with players. Hey, I don't care what he runs. I don't care. People say, well, he's not the player. No kidding. He's not the player he was, okay? When he came out of Miami as an underclassman and was a great player for all those years. Yeah, no question about that. But the intangibles that he brings on that football field, it's the same we talk about with Tebow and all the other players who may not – Tebow doesn't have the great ability to be a quarterback. He doesn't throw the ball well. Yet he's one – Why? Because he kind of wills his team, and everybody feeds off of that energy, and it makes everybody better. So while he may not be great himself, he makes everybody better. That's what Ray does right now, and not having him on the field for the first time in a long time, it'll be interesting to see how that dynamic plays out.
Hey, Mel, Joe Flacco is on pace to throw the ball 641 times this year. Do you feel like he's the type of quarterback that is capable of carrying this football team by himself? Because that's the case with the number of throws that he's getting every week.
Well, the problem there is, Vin, no, he can't do it with a supporting cast. We said when the Lee Evans trade occurred, they needed desperately Lee Evans.
Right.
Well, they haven't had him. And now it's talk, well, he's going to miss another week, 2 weeks. When's Lee Evans going to be back at 100% and be able to finish out this year and be a positive influence on this offense? We don't know. Okay? He has Laquan Williams. Most people didn't feel Laquan Williams was worthy necessarily even bring to camp, let alone have as one of your key entities at wide receiver. Okay? Think about Torrey Smith. We said raw. He needed time. You've seen good. You've seen bad. Okay? You have Anquan Boldin, heck of a veteran, but is he going to scare you? No. So you don't have any stretch ability. You have Torrey Smith, who did against Pittsburgh make the play, but he also had the drop. So you get inconsistency there. You get flashes. Then you have the two young tight ends. But when you're talking about Joe Flacco airing it out as much as he has had to do or has been told to do, the bottom line is that's great if you have the receiving entities. The Ravens don't. And that's been the issue with Joe, and that's why the offense hasn't produced the kind of numbers you would expect.
Mel, what do you think this game, over, under 25 for Ray Rice, touches?
I would think they would go and now try to get Ray Rice a lot of touches, right, just because of how you react to what happened the previous week. And certainly, Ray's the key entity on this offense until the receiving core gets better. When Lee Evans is out there, and it's a shame of it because everybody knows what he's done against Cincinnati over the years, but the shame of it is he won't be part of this football team. And I think that's the most important thing. It's not about evaluating every play in every game right now. I said this a few weeks ago. The most important thing in the NFL is getting into the tournament. It doesn't matter what happened in even December. I've always thought you had to play your best football around Thanksgiving and roll that momentum into the playoffs. That proved to be not true last year with Green Bay. They weren't playing their best football around Thanksgiving, even in early December. They got hot late, but they got into the tournament. They had a scramble just to get into the tournament, okay? So you think about this year, same thing. Don't worry. I remember Ravens had great regular seasons, and boom, bounced right out of the playoffs. So you can't really go back and look at every game and dissect it and obsess on it. Just get to the tournament, and if the Ravens can tread water, get guys healthy, get their full complement of players by the time you get into January when it matters the most, then you can start worrying about what we're doing, touches for Rice, Flacco throwing too much, this, that, and the other thing. Right now, just get to the tournament's the most important thing to worry about.
But, Mel, don't you think to get to the tournament, good coaching is it to let your players do what they do well and let your most explosive players, your best players, right, touch the football?
Well, it's a grab bag right now, Vin, because you don't have that capability. Cam Cameron can't sit there and say, I can hang my hat on this. I can go to this. We all screamed, treat the game like it's the last 2 minutes. Well, he did. Did it work? No. Okay? The bottom line is, you still have to find an identity, and everybody says that, and it's true. You have to get into a rhythm on offense, and a rhythm can't be just grab bagging it. One week we're going to do this, one week we're going to all or nothing type thing. You have to have a rhythm to your offense, and I think to just look at it and be looking at it from a Cam Cameron perspective, you had the offensive line trying to find their way. Then you have young tight ends. You have young receivers. You have a veteran receiver who doesn't have the speed option. Okay, you've had injuries all over the place. You still haven't had Lee Evans factor into this team at all. Okay, so all these issues are the reason why the blame goes to the quarterback and the coordinator, and then the head coach as well, because John Harbaugh has to take responsibility for as any head coach does. But the bottom line is, you can criticize Harbaugh, Cameron, Flacco, whoever, but until all these pieces are out there, and I hope that they are out there at some point this season, then I think then you can accurately evaluate play calling and who's been featured enough or not enough.
All I know is this, Mel. When Ray Rice touches it 20 times or more, they win. When he touches it 20 times or less, they're 1-3. Otherwise, they're 5-0. So, I mean, that's
I agree with you, Vin, but it's when a game starts and you have certain things happening and then...
Mel, in the first half, you got 32 plays, mm-hmm, 28 passes. 28 out of 32 passes, and a score at one point was 10-7.
I agree. I no question, but you could also second-guess anything then when the team loses. And that's what
right.
The plays were made. There were plays to be made in that game. And the guys have to get it done. And when the ball comes your way, you get your hand, catch the ball, make a play. And if they don't, that's why I say when you throw the ball that much, you can't ask, and we said it then, you can't ask average, I'll just say average players to make
right.
great plays.
Gotcha.
You can't do it. You're asking Laquan Williams, Torrey Smith right now is not a great player. Great players make great plays on a consistent basis. That's
yep.
why they're great players. Average players are up and they're down. You see a flash here, and then you see, oh, boy, there you go again. That's what average players do. And I'm talking about, yeah, some of these kids have a chance to be a lot better than average, but right now that's all they are, and I'm being kind to say average.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with Mel Kiper here on 105.7 The Fan. Let's switch gears to college, Mel. Andrew Luck, his game against Oregon, how does that affect his Heisman status and his draft status?
Well, it affects his Heisman, Ken, because people want to, I think, look at it like they did with Peyton Manning and say, oh, everybody's kind of forcing him down our throat. All these guys talking about him is the best quarterback in 30 years. He's going to be the number one pick by far. Well, you know, he lost, and he didn't almost lost to USC, and that's true. And Brandon Whedon's not losing so far, and he's putting up huge numbers as most quarterbacks in college do, and he's got a team poised if they beat Oklahoma to play for the national championship. Now, they do have a game against Vinny Serrato's Iowa State Cyclones tonight in Ames, and we'll see what he does there.
That hawk will be blowing tonight, Mel. That wind will be blowing tonight in Ames.
Well, right now they're a 27-point favorite, 26-point favorite, so we'll see on that one. But I would say Brandon Whedon, LaMichael James, Trent Richardson are right there, and I would say if you had to say right now who's the favorite, I think it's Brandon Whedon for the Heisman. Now, in terms of the performance last week, again, people are critical of Luck based on last week because they lost. Well, why did they lose? Chris Owusu, who's their speed option, okay, big-time receiver at the college level, also a kick returner, not available, injured with a concussion. That affected Zach Ertz, the backup tight end, key entity, not available, injury. Offensive line had issues. That impacted Andrew Luck, who brought him back. The defense couldn't make a stop. He got it to 13, couldn't get it to a six-point deficit because the defense couldn't stop him. Yet everybody's saying Andrew Luck's stock is falling. He's slipping, he's sliding, he's overrated. No, Andrew Luck did as much as he could considering the supporting cast wasn't what it needed to be, and that's why I say quarterbacks need help or else they get blamed. Even Andrew Luck's getting a little bit of criticism this week.
Hey, Mel, I'm curious. You mentioned Brandon Whedon. How do you evaluate him for the next level? He is 28 years old.
Oh, he's got size. He's got arm strength. He throws with anticipation. He's a great leader. He's a smart. He's 28 years old. And I think, you know, he'll be 29 in October of his rookie year. He's older than half the starters, about half the starting quarterbacks, or as old, about half the starting quarterbacks in the NFL. So I think that's a huge edge for Oklahoma State, particularly when you have a Justin Blackmon, a receiver, who's going to be a top five, top seven pick in the first round. You got Joseph Randle and two other backs who are excellent and give them supreme balance. You have the best offensive line in the Big 12 Conference. You have a kicker and a punter who can get it done. They're all the same kid as Quinn Sharp, and he's got a big leg. So, yeah, the defense doesn't have to be outstanding. The offense is spectacular, and Whedon's benefiting from that. I think he's a – come late April, if he has good workouts and he has good all-star games, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a third-round pick.
Mel, there's a couple games let me ask you about that I find interesting this week. Oregon, USC, and then Nebraska going to the Big House in Ann Arbor. I think that's a big game in the Big Ten.
Huge game in the Big Ten, and I think for the Oregon situation at home, you know, and with the Michael James where he is, and certainly to see the young freshman Thomas and the quarterback, the way they perform, that's a hard team to defend. And I think USC has some athletes, obviously, on that side of the ball and defense that can give them I think USC's defense is better than Stanford's, especially with Stanford's without Shane Scove, who's their best player, and he's been out since September 17th. So, you know, Oregon's at home, though. They got, like I say, a tremendous – the thing about Oregon is, guys, their defense, I tell you, they're getting after it. And Alioti is a heck of a coordinator, and their six leading tacklers from last year aren't even on that team right now. You know, five of them moved on, and one of them isn't able to play because of suspension. That's Cliff Harris. So you're talking about a rebuilt defense that is really flying around and getting after the quarterback. And Matt Barkley is going to have to deal with what Andrew Luck did. He's going to get hit. Andrew Luck got hit hard a couple times, right under right in the chin, right under that face mask, a couple times in that game. And Matt Barkley better get ready because they're going to get after the quarterback.
Mel, in your mind, if Oklahoma State loses, which one-loss team is a better argument to play for the national championship?
One-loss team in the country is by far, it's not even close, as Alabama.
Better than Oregon.
Oh, yeah. Alabama is the best one-loss team. For LSU. When LSU played Oregon, I know it was the first game of the year, but you left that game after a while saying LSU's clear. They won the game, but they were clearly the better team. When Alabama played LSU, I left that game thinking Alabama was still the better team. The better team doesn't always win. again, a one-game scenario. Alabama is a better team than LSU. They couldn't kick field goals. Well, they may not still be able to kick field goals, but, hey, the opportunities, maybe they finish those drives. But the punter, a returner shouldn't have been out there. He was, cost them 20 yards. And that tight end, 9 times out of 10, isn't going to let the safety take the ball away from him at the one-yard line. And they still had to go to overtime to lose. So I'll take Alabama. I don't want to see a rematch. I hate rematches in this environment that college football forces down our throat. But clearly the best one-loss team is Alabama.
What's the big board look like this week, Mel?
Hadn't changed much, Vin. The changes are from 15 to 25. The top of the big board's pretty much rolling right along. Those guys are hanging in there. They're all playing pretty well. And not a lot of shifts and turns and twists right now to the top 15.
Now, Mel, we had a caller call in wanting to know, when's that guy come on that talks about Calvert Hall? We said at noon. So what's the Calvert Hall update?
10-1, Vin. What a great year they've had for Donald Davis. A great group of
Are you finished?
Play for the championship tonight at Towson University, 8:15 kickoff. Gilman and Calvert Hall should be a heck of a football game. These two teams play from the last 4 or 5 years. It's been, I'll tell you, undecided up till pretty much the final couple minutes.
Hey, Mel, the big question, did the hair move last week?
Not at all.
It's amazing.
That's not a surprise, Vin. You know that.
It's amazing what people listen to. Mel Kiper, the guy that comes on every week to talk Calvert Hall with us. He joins us every Friday at noon. As always, Mel, thanks for your time.
You got it, guys. Go Cardinals.
All right, Mel.